I'm recording here. So what's the latest? Do you have legal counsel now?
Yeah, thankfully, the Liberty Justice Center of Chicago, who is part of the Illinois Policy Institute, saw the article in the Chicago Tribune and contacted me early last week. And, you know, following more information, me updating them with the situation, they decided to represent me pro bono. And the first thing we did was we drafted a letter to election officials stating, you know, that we think what is happening is wrong. They should follow what the municipal code says. And we asked them to respond to us by 5 p.m. Friday. And we didn't hear anything back, unfortunately. So, you know, when the week starts rolling around, you know, Monday, Tuesday, we are planning, I think the first step would be to apply for a writ of mandamus through the courts.
And what does that do?
Basically, it is a court order for, you know, a public official to follow the law. So it would be the court ordering the election officials to follow what the municipal code says.
Isn't that usually a sort of a measure of last resort?
Yeah, you know, I've been trying every day since February 27th to figure things out. And unfortunately, we feel that it's had to come to this. You know, we also feel that it could have been prevented. But, you know, we feel strongly that I've been wronged. And, yeah, I deserve to be the alderman-elect, so we're fighting to get what we think is right.
Who did you file the paperwork with? Was it the city clerk and the county clerk, or who did you send stuff to?
I think the main addressee was Gretchen DeJange, the county clerk, but we also CC'd the city clerk.
All right, and you've heard nothing back from either one of them?
No, I haven't heard anything for quite a while from either of them, and neither the Liberty Justice Center or myself had a response by 5 p.m. yesterday.
What have they been telling you since February 27th, the day after the election?
A lot. Originally, I was told that, you know, the night of the election, I was told, you know, congratulations, you'll be the new alderman in Ward 2. But then I woke up that Wednesday to many articles citing the county clerk saying there was 50% plus one rule and I had not met the requirements to be elected. And my original conversations with the city clerk and the county clerk, you know, they cited this 50% plus one rule. And not knowing a whole lot about it, I started doing research into the municipal code and the special charter, and state law, but I hadn't found it anywhere. And then I told that to the city and the county clerks that, hey, I haven't, you know, found this rule anywhere. And then it turned into, well, that's just how we've always done it, which I don't think is right, and I don't think it doesn't satisfy me at all, because the city code says something entirely different. And lately it's turned into the lack of a clear definition of majority in the municipal code, allowing election officials to apply the 50% plus one rule instead of the actual definition of majority.
Do you ask either of them how this could apply in a race involving just two people? It seems to me 50% plus one would be something you would apply when there's three or more candidates and you want to make sure at least one of them gets a majority before being elected.
Yeah, when I brought up that argument, it became, you know, it was a primary election is what they were citing. However, you know, in the municipal code, it doesn't, and the special charter, it doesn't say that.
It's called a supplementary election.
The according to the,
it's called a general election and then a supplementary election.
According to the municipal code, the primary election, according to these election officials, is a general election, and the runoff is a supplementary election. And they stated that because it was a primary, if nobody receives 50% plus one, regardless of if there's two or three or more candidates in an election, you still need to receive 50% plus one vote.
Even though you received 51.5%?
Yeah. The 50% plus one requires you to have, you know, that one extra vote, not 1%. And regardless if you got 51.5% or not, they're saying if you didn't have that one extra vote, it's not enough to suffice, even though with that rule you can never win by one vote. You have to win by two or more every time.
Yeah, what's your legal counsel's response to this?
You know, they're flabbergasted, just like myself, just like, you know, everybody that I've been able to talk to and discuss this with. They have no idea why the election officials have decided what they've decided, which is why they were very eager to step forward and help me out.
The writ that will be filed, does that get filed in the Ninth Judicial Circuit Court, or how does this work?
Yeah, I believe we go to the state's attorney, and I think we work with them and file, you know, here in Macomb. Yeah, I'm not exactly too sure of the details. We were going to discuss it more early next week, because, you know, I've obviously never had to, you know, file for writ of mandamus before, but my legal counsel has had prior experience in that, and they're going to explain it in more detail Monday or Tuesday.
The city said, you addressed the city council Monday night, March 18th. The city said it would have a response for you. It's on the agenda for Monday night's meeting. Have you heard anything from them in advance of the meeting coming up on Monday, the 25th?
No, I haven't had any contact with any of the city officials or the city council members since Monday evening. I don't know if they plan on contacting me, letting me know anything further before the meeting. But if not, I plan on being present Monday to hear what they have to say.
All right. Anything you want to add about this right now?
You know, just once again, I'm extremely grateful that people have been so kind to step forward and help me out. People such as yourself and Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune, who have, you know, taken their time to try to help me have my story heard. And the voters of the Second Ward's story heard as well.
Yeah, and of course, in the meantime, while this lingers on, I guess, drags on, you have to campaign for as if you're going to be on the ballot. You are on the ballot. Early voting's already started, mm-hmm. So you actually have to campaign even though you think you've already won.
Yeah, and it'll be a lot easier this time around to campaign. One, because with all the media that this situation has had, people already know who I am. They've actually been contacting me, but I'm still talking with potential constituents, having, you know, face-to-face conversations with them about my story, seeing how they feel, and then just letting them know still what I plan to do if I am to be elected alderman.
Do you have a feel? Are people going to show up out of anger to vote for you? Are you getting that from anyone?
Yeah, I have had a lot of people tell me who, you know, maybe don't live in Macomb, live just outside and can't vote, that, you know, they know a lot of people who either can or can't vote in the Second Ward that are upset with what's happening right now. They don't think it's right either. So I feel that students, one, will be more apt to vote on April 9th because you know, they're really being denied a voice in the city council. But then permanent residents of Macomb as well feel like the cities might be making, you know, fools of themselves, or they're not handling the situation properly, and will go have their voice heard as well.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Rich.